Okay, so we're talking about Hillel. Hillel lived, as we mentioned, near the end of the time of the Hashmonaim, moving into the time of the Roman takeover in Israel. And Hillel was compared, he was such a great scholar and sage. We mentioned that he has more statements than perhaps any other sage in all of Avot. He was a student of Shmaya and Avtalion. And the Gemara says about Hillel that he, when he died, they cried over him and they said, "Wow, we've lost such a person, the humble man, the disciple of Ezra." So Hillel was kind of being positioned or compared to Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe, who in many ways was the founder of the Anshei Knesset Agdola and the beginning of Torah Sheba Al Peh and the beginning of the whole movement of taking the Torah and turning it into a halachic system. Hillel, in many ways, was the continuation of that. So, of course, Hillel is a very important personality. I want to look at one theme that comes out of two different Mishnayot in Hillel's teachings. We're not going to have enough time to really go into depth on it. And that's the theme of taking advantage of every moment. Taking advantage of every moment of your life. So the first mission is the mission from this week in Perek Bet, which is in source number one. Hillel Omer, all the way at the end of a long passage where he quotes a whole number of other teachings, and he says, "Al tomar lechashe'e paneh, shnei Hashem aloti paneh." A person should not say, "When I am free, when I have free time, I'll study Torah." Because you know what? It's going to end up happening. You're going to push it off. You're going to have something else to do. Something else is going to happen, and you're not going to end up having the free time that you had anticipated or hoped for. So don't wait. Don't wait for the time. Seize the moment. Or as Robin Williams once said in a great movie, carpe diem. And seize the day. Seize the day. Now's the time. Don't waste any time. Alternatively, another interpretation is this. Don't say when I have time, I will learn. Say when I will have time, I will change. From the word shinui. Which really in many ways is almost one and the same kind of idea. Taking advantage and making the most of every moment of our time. This is a theme that carries in a number of parts of Hillel. So if we look in the second Mishnah that I quoted here, it's from last week in the first Perek. Hu haya omer, very famously, im eina nili mili, uchshe nili atzmi ma'ani, and of course, v'im lo achshav, ematai. As Hillel mentions, if not now, when? If not now, when is really this theme that is running through this mission that we just quoted. Don't say when I have free time, I'll take advantage of the time, because maybe you will not end up having that free time. So let's learn one or two stories together about Hillel. Talk a little bit about, as we mentioned last week, Hu Haya Omer, if I didn't mention it explicitly, many of the commentaries say whenever the Mishnah and Avot, as we have, especially in the first chapter, Hu Haya Omer is a reflection of the personality. Hu Haya Omer. Meaning, the personality is a reflection of the statement. The motto is just a reflection of who that person really was. And if you read it with a pause, you would say, Hu Haya. First, Sage X, Hillel, last week it was Yossi ben Yochanan, Yossi ben Yoezer. They were, meaning they embodied their teaching. They practiced what they preached before they preached it. Hu haya, Omer. First they were what they believed in, and then they spoke about it, and then they taught it, and then they shared it with the world. So Hillel's approach, and one of his major messages to the world was, live with a sense of urgency. Live with a sense of the next moment can be turned into the most meaningful one of your life. Im lo achshav, ematai. And we have this story here from Masechet Shabbat. It was Shabbat afternoon. Hillel was getting ready for Shabbat. I'm not going to read the whole story inside. And these two guys decide they're going to make a bet. And they're going to see who can make Hillel really angry. And they bet a very large sum of money, and one of the two says, I can do it, and he figures out the best time of the week. It's Erev Shabbat. It's the last few minutes before Shabbat is going to enter, and Hillel's in the shower, and he's getting ready, and the guy decides at that very moment he's going to pass by the house, and he's going to shout out, and he's going to say, is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? And he's going to try to get Hillel agitated. And you read the story, Hillel, very patiently, very humbly, with joy, presents himself to this mechutzef, this really, really not such a nice guy, who's bothering him in the last minutes right before Shabbat. Hillel comes out, he gets himself dressed, he shows him honor, he calls him my son, bless you, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And he has all kinds of strange questions for Hillel. Not once, not two times, but three times. He requests of Hillel all kinds of bizarre types of questions. Why are the heads of the Babylonians round? And why are the eyes of a certain other people, why are they, you know, squinty? And why are the feet of the Africans webbed or enlarged? And to each one, Hillel gives an answer, and he, with patience and with love and with endearment, my son, thank you, what a great question. And you read the story and you say, Hillel's entitled to his dignity. He's entitled to his Erev Shabbos. He's entitled to his shower. He's entitled to his few minutes of quiet. He's the Nasi. He's the leader of the Jewish people. He's busy all week dealing with all kinds of different things. Give him a few minutes of quiet. So that's exactly why this guy picked this time, because he knew that was going to be the perfect way in to get Hillel agitated. Yet Hillel did not waver. And the guy got very upset, and he screamed at Hillel at the end. He said, you made me lose the bet. And Hillel said, it's better that you lost the bet than you make Hillel get upset. But I read this story, and there's so much in it, and I just want to take one message out of it, and then we'll look at one or two other sources. And the message here is the message of seeing every living moment as an opportunity to create meaning in your life or in the lives of others. And Hillel saw, even in this mechutzef, even in this person who came with such arrogance and such selfishness and such a agenda of self-serving nonsense, to be quite blunt, Hillel said, Bini, Mata Mevakesh, my son. And he dressed up, and he showed him respect, and you wouldn't even know that it was 2 minutes before Shabbos. Hillel treated him with the greatest level of respect, because he saw in this person something great. And he gave him that respect to show him that that moment was important to him. That moment, there was nothing else in the world that mattered except making that moment meaningful, because he understood that the very next moment could be the most meaningful moment of your life. If you turn to the back side, a very important question came to Rav Davi Ben Zimra, the Radvaz. He was asked by an individual who was imprisoned in jail, this is source number 3 on the back side, who was not able to leave to pray with the minyan or fulfill other mitzvot. He beseeched the minister or governor, yet was not granted permission other than for one day a year, a day of Reuven's choice. Let the teacher instruct which day of all the days of the year should Reuven choose to go to the Beit Knesset. So the Radvaz wrote back, I have seen that one of the wise men of our generation responded to this question. He dived into deep waters but brought up a pottery shard. It's a metaphor for he didn't give a good answer. And he built his construction upon shaky foundations. At first he said that Yom Kippur is the best day to choose. Then he switched it for Purim because of the Megillah reading and publicizing the miracle, which requires a minyan. It is not fitting to rely on his words. Yet the ruling that one should rely on is based on the principle. Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvot. We may not pass up mitzvot. There is no opposition to this principle. Therefore, The first mitzvah he encounters that cannot be fulfilled while in prison takes precedence. Now, when do you leave? Today. You have an opportunity to go. Seize the moment. Seize the next moment. We do not pay attention to whether the first mitzvah he encounters is a light or weighty one, for one cannot know the reward of mitzvot. This is very obvious to me. This notion of seizing the next moment, I believe, is the core of these statements of what Hillel is teaching. And I believe as we enter the days of Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzma'ut, one of the central messages for me personally of this time of the year. Yom HaZikaron, as we know, memorializing the fallen soldiers who gave their lives al Kiddush Hashem, fighting for Medina Yisrael, for Am Yisrael. I didn't personally serve in Tzahal. Many friends who did spent time in Israel during this time of the year, which is a very special time of the year. And a message that I always walk away from and I ask myself each and every year on Yom HaZikaron comes from this story, source number 4. Emmanuel Moreno was killed in 2006 in the Second Lebanon War. He was such an elite soldier and in such a secret unit that they couldn't even publish his picture after he was killed in action. One of the only soldiers in the history of Tzal to not have his public profile even known. So nobody even knows what he looks like. And the stories they tell about him are fantastic stories. After his passing, a collection of stories was published. You can find it online. I have the link there in the footnote. Many, many different stories written by friends. And this one was written by a fellow soldier. And he writes to the family, to the Moreno family. This is an English translation. I want to share with you a conversation I had with Emmanuel on Friday, only a few hours before we boarded the helicopter. The following is a summary of the conversation. I sat with Emmanuel and we spoke about different things that could happen to us and what we would do in those circumstances. 2 weeks prior, a helicopter was shot down by a missile and 5 soldiers were killed. A new fear had emerged for helicopter missions in Lebanon. In this context, Emmanuel asked me, what would you do, God forbid, if your helicopter would be hit by a missile and you had only 10 more seconds to live? I responded, I do not know. I imagine I would be very sad and scared. I would close my eyes and wait for it all to be over as quickly and painlessly as possible. Emmanuel thought for a moment and said, what I would do, and this is what you should do, is say, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. I looked at him and said, okay, so say Shema Yisrael, but what will this do for you? 1 second later, the helicopter will crash and everyone will die. Then he answered me with a line that has accompanied me since that day and will continue to be with me. If a person had 5 seconds left to live and still felt a sense of purpose in their life, it means that this life continues to have a purpose. On the flip side, if a person had 5 seconds left to live and did not appreciate the potential of those 5 seconds, then it seems that his entire life was missing a sense of purpose. When soldiers get inducted into Tzahal, really into any army, but we're thinking about our soldiers in Israel, they say 2 words when they get called up. Those 2 words are Ani Nishba. Ani Nishba. I swear. What are they taking an oath? To defend the Jewish people. Ani Nishba. And what's powerful about these words is that the minute that those words are uttered by each soldier, by each chayal, from that moment forward, every moment of their service on behalf of the Jewish people is filled with meaning. The very next moment of that, of each one of those young people's lives are filled with meaning and purpose because they're doing something that is greater than them. They're acting on behalf of a mission that is bigger and greater than they are. And because of that, every moment is filled with meaning. And that's not necessarily something that all of us can appreciate. But I think the part that we can appreciate, and I think the question that we have to ask ourselves, especially at this time of the year, is maybe my Ani Nishba is not going to be serving in Sahal. But my Ani Nishba, what I'm going to do on behalf of Am Yisrael, my contribution, my unique contribution, has to be something that gives meaning to the very next moment of my life. Because I'm acting on behalf of something that's bigger and greater than I am. And the irony of it all is that these young men and women who serve, they don't even really get to ask that question. Because that question is being asked of them. It's obligatory in Israel. It's a draft. And because of that, this is a question that they have to respond to without really having the opportunity to think about it. And when they say Ani Nishba, the very next moment of their lives becomes filled with meaning and purpose. So for us, not living in Israel, not serving right now, on the front lines, defending Medina Yisrael, we have the same question. Our answer is going to be different. But the question is the same. What is your Ani Nishba? Everybody have a great day.
Thank you.